Thank you, Vajragupta. A couple of years ago, I happened to find myself in Berlin. It was probably just my second or perhaps even my third visit. And of course, I was visiting the Buddhist Gate. Not the Brandenburg Gate, but the Buddhist Gate. The Buddhist Gate is, of course, the name which has been given to our FWBO center in Berlin. Apparently, we couldn't call it the Berlin Buddhist Center because there was already in Berlin a Berlin Buddhist Center. So it was decided by those responsible that our FWBO, Berlin Buddhist Center, should be called the Buddhist Gate. So I was there just for a few days. I was meeting people. I was doing a bit of sightseeing. I always find Berlin an interesting place with lots of worthwhile places to visit. But of course, inevitably, before very long, someone asked me if I would mind doing something for the order members and mitras, just for them. So I thought it over. For some reason or other, I didn't want to give a full-blown lecture. I didn't exactly want to give a poetry reading, because after all, it was Germany. And even though so many people in Germany do speak such excellent English, it didn't seem quite fair to inflict a reading of English poetry on them, especially not mine. So I decided that I would try a little experiment. I thought I'd do something which I hadn't ever done before and just see how it worked out, whether people took to it or not. Well, I've said I didn't intend reading my own poetry, but in a way, that's what I ended up doing. But not reading lots and lots of poems, but reading just one of my own poems and explaining it line by line at some length. So this was the experiment which I decided to undertake, to just take one of my poems, a short one, and explain it line by line, just go into it. It was, after all, a quite informal sort of occasion. So you may be wondering, well, you know, which poem did I choose to read and then comment upon? Well, the poem was the one which is included in my complete poems, the one called Just Meditation. It's the one beginning, "Here perpetual incense burns." So I read this poem, I explained it line by line. I had a very good translator in Anoma Mati, and I believe we really did go into that poem. And the response from our German friends was very, very positive. So I concluded that my little experiment had been quite successful. In fact, I think I was surprised just how successful it had been. But not only that, there was something else. As I explained the poem line by line, and I think I took about 45 or 50 minutes to do so, and it's only a short poem, as some of you may remember, I was surprised to find how much, in fact, there was to explain. I was surprised, even though I myself had written the poem, I was surprised how much there really was in the poem. And I think I can say that in the course of that 45 or 50 minutes, by way of explaining that poem line by line, by way of commenting upon it, I managed to bring out, I managed to draw out practically the whole of Buddhism, which I hadn't really expected to do. And this, of course, gave me thought, gave me food for thought. I thought about it quite a lot afterwards. In fact, I've thought about it quite a lot since. And that little experiment made me appreciate, made me realize that the poet or the artist is not always conscious of exactly what he is doing, what he is saying. At least, he's not always fully conscious of that. And that is no doubt why Plato in the Phaedrus speaks of poetic inspiration as being a kind of madness. It's a madness that comes from the muses. It doesn't come just from you, not you and your ordinary, everyday, quotidian selfhood. Now, when I wrote that poem, when I wrote Meditation, I didn't consciously or deliberately try to put all of Buddhism into it. I wasn't even really trying to write about Buddhism. It was a poem about meditation. It was a poem based, I suppose, on my own experience of meditation at that time. But nonetheless, though I hadn't tried consciously or deliberately to put any Buddhism into it, nevertheless, if one looked close enough, deeply enough, there was quite a lot of Buddhism in it. I managed to draw out, so to speak, well, practically the whole of Buddhism, certainly all the fundamental principles, so far as I can remember. And last year, I had a similar kind of experience. As you probably know, I get lots and lots of letters. Not just letters, people send me all sorts of things. They send me cards, of course, and little presents, and loads of cards of various kinds. They send me photographs, send me very long letters sometimes, and, well, all sorts of things. They also send me their theses from time to time, their MA and their PhD theses. Well, just as a matter of interest. I mean, one of them I remember was on some obscure branch of chemistry. But anyway, the young man sent it to me, and, well, I looked at it. I can't say that I read it. In fact, I don't think I could have understood it, even if I'd read it. But anyway, I thought it's very nice that people think of me in this way, that they send me even their theses on some obscure subject within the field of chemistry. But anyway, on this occasion, a young man in Finland sent me a copy of his MA thesis on one of my own poems. And the poem was Hercules and the Birds. Of course, the thesis was written in Finnish, which at first was rather frustrating. Here was this fairly fat little volume, and I mean, Finnish is a totally different language. You can't even make out a word, even if you know French and German and Italian and the rest. You can't make out Finnish. It is really beyond you. Yeah. So here I was with this tantalizing thesis, knowing that it was on my own poem, Hercules and the Birds, and I couldn't understand a word of it. But fortunately, someone came to the rescue. Sri Devi came to my rescue, and she very kindly sent me a summary of the thesis in English. And when I read the summary, I must say, I really was astonished, because this young man writing this thesis had seen in my poem all sorts of things that I had not consciously put there. Yet I had to admit, when I read Sri Devi's summary, that those things definitely were there. I couldn't deny it. So, I couldn't help thinking, remembering my Plato, that when I wrote Hercules and the Birds, well, was I mad? Or was I mad when I wrote meditation? Did they just come from the muses? Well, perhaps I was just a little bit mad at the time, hopefully. But mad or not, this evening I'm going to repeat my Berlin experiment. I'm going to explain one of my poems. I'm going to try to see what it was that I put into it without really knowing at the time what I was doing. I'm not going to explain the poem Meditation. I've chosen another poem. I've chosen a poem called The Scholars. The Scholars. I wrote this poem in Kalimpong in 1957, and you may or you may not remember it, even if you have worked your way through the complete poems. But even if you remember it, I'm pretty certain you don't know it by heart, so I'm going to begin by just reading the poem. It is relatively short, and as I've said, it's called The Scholars. Asked what is Buddhism, off they go. Consult the dictionaries, row on row. Sanskrit, Tibetan, Pali, German too, as though it was the only thing to do. Until we wish, in all sincerity, a second burning of the books could be. Have they no other word for six souls full of doubt than read my latest article? Off with your shoes. 'Tis holy ground. Depart. Buddhism's in the life and in the heart. So that's the poem. I can't remember exactly the circumstances in which I wrote it. But of course, 1957, the year in which I wrote it, was the year of the 2500th Buddha Jayanti, that is to say, the 2500th anniversary of the Buddha's Parinirvana. And that was being celebrated all over the Buddhist world, and especially it was being celebrated in India. There were all sorts of celebrations of different kinds. I myself participated in some of them, as you may remember from the pages of my memoirs, and of course in that year many books on Buddhism were published, and perhaps not surprisingly these books were of rather varying quality. Some were good, some were bad, some were so-so. Quite a number of them, I'm afraid, were really rather dry. Not only dry, they very often showed a complete lack of any real understanding of the Dharma. And I think at that time I must have read at least some of these books. And I think that some of them must have, rather annoyed me. Hence the poem. I must have written it in a mood of some annoyance. But before I go on to explain it, line by line, I want to say just a few words about the actual title. The title being, of course, The Scholars. Dr. Johnson, in his famous dictionary, distinguishes four meanings of the term scholar. One, a scholar is one who learns of a master. A scholar is a disciple. Two, a scholar is a man of letters. Three, a scholar is a pedant, a man of books. And four, a scholar is one who has a lettered education. According to the Concise Oxford Dictionary, the primary meaning of the word is a learned person, especially in language, literature, etc., an academic. In the poem, I'm speaking of a certain type of scholar, corresponding more or less to Dr. Johnson's pedant or man of books. And of course, I'm speaking of a certain type of Buddhist scholar. Or rather, perhaps I should say, a certain type of scholar in Buddhism. That is to say, I'm speaking of someone who is learned, perhaps, in the history, the doctrines, the development, the archaeology, and so on, of Buddhism, who knows perhaps the canonical languages and literature of Buddhism, literature in Pali, Sanskrit, Chinese, Tibetan, and so on, and who holds perhaps a teaching post in a university. In other words, I'm speaking of someone who is an academic working in the field of Buddhism. And of course, such a person may not regard himself as a Buddhist. Sometimes you may find that such a scholar is even somewhat hostile to Buddhism. But nonetheless, you may also find him teaching Buddhism at university level. You may even find him writing books and articles on the subject, and he may even be regarded as an authority on Buddhism. And it's with scholars of this type that my poem is concerned. Better to say, is concerned with those who know a lot about Buddhism intellectually, but who have little or no actual experience of it. Better to say, those who know a lot about it, but who do not try to practice it, and who don't even think of trying to practice it. But it's time we proceeded to the poem itself. But just to refresh your memory, let me read it again.